is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in, locked in all over North America. I hope you have had a tremendous Wednesday. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 3 hours. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. So if you haven't been here for the last hour, where have you been? You've been at work, you at home, you were hanging out with your family. I don't know what you were doing, but where were you? You can always hit rewind on the free Odyssey app if you missed it. Thank you to everybody tuned in live on their local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you have SiriusXM, it's channel 375. And if you got yourself a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. So, yeah, if you're painting or cleaning or protecting or maybe you just want to use your voice, just don't use your hands. Just speak to the machine. Tell it to play the Infinity Sports Network. We've already talked about a lot. The New York Knicks have a new head coach in Mike Brown. The Los Angeles Lakers have a new center in DeAndre Ayton. Thank you so much to Lance Allen for coming through from CBS 58 in Milwaukee to talk about these Bucks and what might be in store for Giannis Antetokounmpo. I can tell you what will be in store for us as we continue on with the show. Jaren Jackson Jr., speaking of centers, this guy just signed, what, a $240 million contract? He's hurt already? We'll get into it. Cleveland and Detroit beat up in the world of sports again. Why? Wasn't it enough when Joakim Noah took a dump on Cleveland? That wasn't enough. We got some possible landing spots for Damian Lillard. And then, of course, it's Wednesday. I have a new top six list for you. We're going to take a look at the top six sports cities that can catch a break. They deserve better. They've been beat down. They've been punched around. These cities, they deserve a lot. Let's just put it that way. If you want to be a part of the show, you can. You can call me. The number here is 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me on the internet. I exist. I am at JR Sport Brief. Pretty fun. Of course, at the end of the show, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. We're going to have a cool chat with Holly O'Neill. She's a big executive at Bank of America. They're working on some great sports projects, and one in particular I want to share with you involving a Special Olympics. So we'll have a chat with Holly O'Neill later on in the show and give you the top six lists of sports cities that deserve better. There's just a lot. Even the WNBA, they had their Commissioner's Cup last night, and it's just like... Okay, I guess this is their version of the in-season tournament. Anything to pretty much bring attention to the league is not a bad thing. We did see the Minnesota Lynx. They lost to the Indiana Fever. Well, they didn't just lose to the Indiana Fever. They got smoked. They beat them up bad. 74-59, the Fever beat Minnesota. There was no Caitlin Clark. She's still dealing with a groin issue, apparently. She's going to miss their next game against the Las Vegas Aces as well. She has not played since June 24th. That's the last time that we've seen her out there. Everybody wants to see Caitlin Clark. And so as a part of this Commissioner's Cup, one of the players on the Indiana Fever, her name is Sophie Cunningham, they talked about, or she was asked about this expansion of the WNBA. I mean, between now and 2030, we're going to see three new franchises that are going to come into the league. Okay, we got a team coming up in Cleveland. We have a team that is also coming up in Detroit, and that's going to be pretty cool. I think Grant Hill and then also my main man, Chris Webber, are going to be partners in that. And let's just say out of those two teams, Sophie Cunningham thought that these expansion cities were kind of bleak. You include Philadelphia in that. She didn't have no smoke for Philly. But Sophie Cunningham was asked about the expansion, and she just had some thoughts that she wanted to verbalize. Take a listen to what she had to say about expanding to both Detroit and Cleveland.
You would think that you'd want to try to get more of the country engaged in the WNBA. I totally get having kind of the brother team of having the NBA side, because it is helpful. It's way more helpful. You just get more perks. There's more opportunities. And so I get that aspect. But I also think that you want to listen to your players, too. Like, where do they want to play? Where are they going to get excited to play and draw fans? And I do think that Miami would have been a great one. Like, everyone loves Florida. Nashville is an amazing city. Kansas City, amazing opportunity. There's a huge arena downtown that no one's using. And I think that the Women's Soccer League is showing that, like, people draw, you know. And so I'm not so sure what the thought process is there. But at the end of the day, you also want to make sure that you're not expanding our league too fast. I think that's also another thing, that you don't want teams to totally dominate and then have teams that aren't. And so I just think that it's kind of a hard decision-making team or situation. But, man, I don't know how excited people are to be going to Detroit or Cincinnati.
Oh, ouch. Ouch, 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 ouch. She said Cincinnati. Does she even know the difference between Cincinnati and Cleveland? Now, does she care about public criticism? Does she care what anybody thinks? If the answer is no, then yeah, go ahead, say what's on your mind. But why would you take a dump on either Detroit or Cleveland if the league is trying to expand? I mean, we talked about this on the air a couple of days ago. The Detroit Shock actually won championships and had success in Detroit. And they were big. I need to get my buddy Swin Cash on the air to talk about this potential. Not potential. They are expanding back into Detroit. Swin Cash was there when they were having success, okay? Cleveland. Man, Caitlin Clark was talking about Cleveland and her experience from the college side there. I don't know. Why would you just, as a professional athlete, why would you take a dump on one of these cities? What happens? Sophie Cunningham is going to wake up one day and it's 4 years from now, and if they say, hey, the only team that wants to sign you is the team in Cleveland or Detroit, she's just going to refuse to go? I don't know. I think it's a bad idea. And the cities responded to her on social media. This isn't anything that you want if you're a professional athlete. You want to keep your options open, but I guess she knows better than everybody else. Shout-outs to my friends up in Detroit at the Ticket. They have a beautiful office up there. 97.1, Costa and Jansen, they had a response to Sophie Cunningham. Listen to this.
This is a topic in Detroit sports radio because she said it about Detroit.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I don't think they're necessarily.
But I'm saying I would hold
this
opinion. Whether you put this microphone in front of me or not, I'd have this opinion. You should want to be where there are passionate sports fans, not where the sun shines more often. That's a selfish take by the player. The idea that you can't draw fans in Detroit, you'd have an easier time drawing fans in Detroit than Miami, which is what should matter for the players in the league, because that's how you get the money that you all want.
Yeah. Seems like she only thought about going on vacation. Sitting on South Beach. Oh, the players would absolutely love to be in Miami. Man, have you seen when the players show up in Miami? Well, forget the players. The fans? Late. Okay, I wouldn't mind being in Detroit. The fans absolutely love them there. Sophie Cunningham opened up her mouth, and now she's having to pay for it. And that's Detroit. And we've heard Cleveland. People have piled on Cleveland forever. That's just the reality of it. Okay, outside of the Cavs winning a title in 2016. Before that, man, the Guardians, or formerly Indians at the time, they would get close in the 90s, but ultimately never won. And you'd have to go back to the Browns in the 60s, winning a championship that predated the Super Bowl. People love to take a dump on Cleveland. Like Joakim Noah. Remember when the Bulls were taking on the Cavs? And Joakim Noah basically had the time of his life basically saying, I hate this place. It's nothing but factories here. I would never vacation here. Let's throw it back to what Joakim Noah had to say.
I don't know about this place, man. I just stayed in my hotel room, man. Every time I look out my window, it's pretty depressing out here, man. It's bad. It's bad.
So you're not going out?
No. No going out in Cleveland, man.
It's all factories.
Do you regret anything that you said about Cleveland?
Not at all.
You like it? You think Cleveland's cool? I mean, I never heard anybody say, I'm going to Cleveland on vacation.
mean, what's so good about Cleveland?
Now, I don't want to be a jerk, but I will give him credit for what he said. Because he ain't talking nothing about business. He's talking and giving his own personal thoughts on the city. He's not saying, hey, why do we have an NBA team here in Cleveland? Joakim Noah didn't say anything bad about the fans. He talked about the city, well within his right. Here, the WNBA is actually in a space where they're trying to grow. They're trying to expand. They're trying to bring in new fans and new eyeballs and reward cities like Detroit, who have already had teams. And Cleveland, get a team back there as well. They had a team. And here she is taking a massive dump on them. I don't know. Maybe she needs to sit down with Kathy Engelbert and get some thoughts. I just think it's a bad idea. The WNBA, just for how they market the league and some of the things that the players say, everybody's entitled to their opinion. But why you would kill future expansion teams that are definitely going to happen is just, I think it's an exercise in stupidity. Big up the teams that are coming in. Recommend other cities that should have teams. Well, maybe you don't want the money, the pot split. I don't know. Bacha, why the hell would she say something like that?
Because she just hates going to places where she doesn't think she's good enough for. Like, they mentioned it too in the clip. I cut some of it, that she's from Missouri and she mentioned Kansas City as a better option. So maybe she wants to be closer to home, but it just doesn't make any sense. Maybe it's just to get more eyes on the bigger cities, I guess she sees.
She played at Missouri, but do bigger cities mean better markets for sports? Does it?
If you're looking at capita, yeah. Like California, yes, you'd have more eyeballs on the games, but there's the level of passion that they mentioned that can't be really measured unless you actually see it in ticket sales.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like in the majority of professional sports, we have that aspect covered. There's not a professional sports league, for instance, that doesn't have a team, multiple teams in New York. I think at this point in time, New York City is probably represented by 16 professional sports teams. If it's not 16, it's definitely 12. Los Angeles, of course, we've seen the relocation of teams in and out of L.A. Los Angeles, I wouldn't say is the most passionate fan base given the population or per capita because there's so many other options, but it's just about the eyeballs. So Chicago, of course, Philadelphia, here in Atlanta, Houston, Dallas. We could think about the huge cities, metropolitan areas, Washington. We can go on and on. All of those are represented when you think about teams and or leagues that have teams. But when you start getting, I don't want to say on the fringes, but smaller markets, like there's no guarantee that Oklahoma City, you know, is going to have a professional sports team. They were taken there from Seattle from a guy who was from Oklahoma City. Kansas City has the Chiefs. They have the Royals. They ain't got no basketball out there. Not even professionally. The basketball that they last had, well, they're now in Sacramento. Sacramento doesn't have anything else. They're basically renting the A's. That, damn it, they're getting ready to go out to Las Vegas. And so once you get outside the big markets, and Detroit, I consider a major market, I don't think we are in, I don't think we should be taking a dump. All those cities are covered. And so just to go, oh, well, instead of having a team in Cleveland, instead of Detroit, let's put a team in Miami. You know, maybe market research shows that, man, unless we put the women out there in bikinis, are people going to show up? I mean, people barely show up for Miami Heat games. When the Dolphins stink, people are like, man, I ain't going to go ahead and sit out there. Miami is nice. It's luxurious. You can go to the beach and I don't know, you can hang out on Star Island and eat great food and I don't know, WNBA Miami. Yeah, I think they'll do better in Detroit. Miami can wait, okay? Who's showing up for the Marlins? Nobody. Oh, they suck. Who's showing up for the Dolphins? Oh, my friends, the Dolphin Bandits. Shout-outs to them. Who's showing up to the Heat? Man, nobody cares unless they're winning championships. So why put a WNBA team there? No rush, right? You got to be smart. You have to be strategic when you expand. And the first thing you got to do is actually go to places where the fans would be interested, interested in investing, interested in cheering, down for the cause. Miami, they got the beach and Art Basel and celebrities and sun, humidity, and rain. I think people got options besides the WNBA. Sophie Cunningham is the one for the beating. Hey, that, remember that guy who called up said she's the most second popular player in the WNBA?
Yeah, most infamous maybe? I don't know.
Infamous? Is that what we're, she's the most?
Not really. She's putting people in headlocks, defending Caitlin Clark, you know?
Well, I forgot the woman from last year who's been in and out the WNBA. I can't even say she's... No, Angel Reese is the most infamous already. No?
Yeah, probably.
Too soon?
She's not really done anything wrong. She just plays not good and just wants to
Damn.
Be popular.
You're just Eastern Conference Player of the Week?
Yeah, so she's getting better. It's just that she had a bad run and people just take it. She's super confident in herself and people don't like that. So
well, let's
talk
just...
about it.
There is no infamous player in the WNBA? None, right?
For just being a terrible person?
Nobody's ever punched nobody in a WNBA game that I remember.
Who was the girl that left to play overseas? Oh, my gosh.
Left to play? Oh, Liz Cambage?
Yeah, she might have been the only player that was hated on by everyone.
Oh, yeah, because the national team and things she might have said about the home country, I think Nigeria and leaving the league and being a model and not caring. I think she's currently playing in China, where she can travel the world, she can play basketball in China, she could DJ, she could be a lingerie model. She's just living the life. She's out here checking all the boxes. I remember her. I believe she started off, I think, playing in Australia. Yeah, Liz Cambage. Infamous? I don't know. Hey, everybody just needs to embrace basketball, period. If it's good basketball, I'm going to watch, regardless of what city it's in, okay? That's why, you know what, in about 45 minutes, I'm going to share with you a new top six list. There are a lot of other sports cities that just get beat up. I'm going to give you a top six list, sports cities that deserve better. They can't catch a break. Here, you want a preview? You want to take a guess? Yes, Cleveland will be on the list. You want to give me a call? 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. It's a real simple question. Why the hell can't Cleveland catch a break? Why is Detroit and Cleveland, why are they in the firing squad? Why do people love the beat up on Cleveland, Ohio? What am I missing here? 888-710-4ISN. I'm going to check out your phone calls on the other side of the break. We got some potential landing spots for Damian Lillard. Speaking of Detroit, Malik Beasley, yeah, he's $30,000 in haircuts, and we got a lot to do. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. I need you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right before we went to break, we talked about some of the words from Sophie Cunningham, who plays for the Indiana Fever. Ahead of the Indiana Fever's game in the Commissioner's Cup, which they won without Caitlin Clark, Sophie Cunningham was asked about the WNBA's upcoming expansion over the next, 4 to 5 years. We're going to have new teams in Philadelphia, Detroit, as well as Cleveland. And she took the response to go, hey, we need to be careful with how we expand and where we expand. Maybe they need to ask the players and get some input as to where we would want to play. Maybe not a Detroit or a Cleveland, maybe someplace like Miami. And I'm like, damn, why would you want to say that? I mean, Detroit had success with the franchise, at least on the basketball court. We did have a team in Cleveland. And it seems that Cleveland is always just a punching bag when it comes to the world of sports. I'm trying to figure out why. I mean, we even played the sound from Joakim Noah from more than a decade ago where he's just like, who the hell wants to play in Cleveland? Who wants to be here? It's depressing when I come here. At least he gave his thoughts on the city and not the city as a sports town. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. When we get to the top of the hour, I'm going to give you a new top six list. I mean, besides Cleveland, I'm going to give you a top six list of sports cities that deserve better. Why the heck is Cleveland, Detroit, why are they always getting beat up? Let's talk to Alan from Wisconsin. You're on the JR Sport Re-Show. What's up, Alan?
Hey, how's it going, JR, man?
It's going very well. What's on your mind?
Hey, while you're on the subject of expansion, I've always thought this, and I'm sure the owners in these leagues and these commissioners have done all this research and just never really made it public or whatever. But, like, you know, if I was thinking about starting a team, I always thought, like, why don't they go where they're not? You know, they always try to go, you know, where these other teams are. And I always thought, like, well, if they go somewhere like, you know, Boise, Idaho, or Fargo, North Dakota, or, you know, some state that has nothing else to do, you would think they'd be the hottest ticket in town and sell out every night kind of thing. But, you know, I've never really seen them do that. And I suppose there's a reason, and they just haven't
told
us.
It's market size. I mean, you have to be able to support the team financially. And you do that, A, if you got to think about the seats. You want to have a fan base that has money, a good segment of the fan base that has enough money for season tickets. You want to have a good arena or stadium. A lot of these a lot of the owners want to have stadiums and arenas that are publicly funded. If I have to think about Boise, I've been to Boise. I love Boise. I've had one of the best meals I've ever had in my life was in Boise, Idaho. But outside of the college and bodybuilding, do they have enough of a base to say, hey, we're gonna have 9,000, 10,000 season tickets sold? Are there enough corporate America or corporate sponsors that are going to write million-dollar checks up and down? I mean, do you have enough infrastructure or facilities for teams to come in and utilize when they were in town? It boils down to money. Do you have enough eyeballs in the metropolitan area that can support a big television contract? So it's natural that you got to think about pretty much the top 30 markets and regions in North America that can support this, whether it happens to be in Toronto or, dare I say, even a Miami, a D.C. Like, you want to have that base. So smaller cities, typically, it's tough. And that's why in a lot of cases, smaller cities are supported by colleges locally, where people will leave and come back. You have a base. They're more connected than just fly-by-night professionals who are in and out.
Yeah, but that's why I always figure, you know, if you're just the hottest ticket in town, if that college, you know, isn't doing something, you know, if they're out of season, like let's say the big, you know, the big money making sport,
they play at the same time as the pros. The biggest money maker for a college, for any college from an athletic standpoint, is football, and then it's basketball. Those are winter sports. I mean, it's not like they're going to, you know, NBA is not going to set up shop to play a game in Boise in the summertime. It runs too parallel to college. It's a good idea, yeah. But the bottom line is there are not enough eyeballs. The population is not big enough. There's not enough money. If me, you, and every, so for instance, and I'll give you a great example. Austin, Texas is growing. It's growing by leaps and bounds. Its population is growing. It's become a tech hub. It's become a hub from, you know, just this is a lot going on in Austin. But if I take a look at it, in between what we have in San Antonio, and then you start thinking about, yeah, this is a little bit further north in Texas, Austin may have to wait before they get any sports teams. I don't know. It may be 50 years from now, 60 years before people go, well, you know what we need in Austin? A baseball team, an NFL team. It takes time. You got to have a base there that's going to spend the money, man. You got to have population first, Alan.
Yeah, I know one thing that kind of ruins teams too, or leagues, is, you know, from being someone that used to work in sports network production, is the infrastructure is outreaches what they do or what they have to support it, kind of like what you're saying. So, like, you know, if you look at leagues like, you know, the alternate NFL football leagues, you know, where they're playing in, you know, NFL stadiums with like 5,000 fans showing up. And it's like, why not put your league in smaller stadiums to where, you know, basically you can afford to turn the lights on. So some of these leagues go to these places where they're playing in places where they basically can't afford to turn the lights on because when you compare it to the crowd that they're drawing.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's why I think spring football sucks. I think that's just me. I mean, if you can have an entertainment league and it's just going to be, you know, arena-style football, I would find that to be more of a viable product than some of the spring football that we have being pushed by The Rock. Alan, thank you so much for calling Wisconsin, man. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Hey, well, let's go to Simon in Cleveland, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Simon, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show.
Hey, JR, how are you doing today?
I'm great. What's on your mind?
So I think it's very smart for WNBA to put a team in Cleveland, Detroit, because then everyone's going to say how bad they are, and all those people in Cleveland are going to be mad, and they're going to show up to support them.
What? What? Help me out. Say that again. What?
So all the people in Cleveland are going to be mad, so they'll show up then.
Wait. Hold on a second. I need backup here. Botcher, do you know what the hell he's saying?
I don't know if it's a bad joke. Are you saying that it'll be the players would be mad that people are showing up to the games?
No, the fans are only want to come if everyone's getting mad at them, saying they can't support a team. Everyone's going to want to come.
It's a marketing tactic.
Like what, by Sophie Cunningham? Is this what you're saying, Simon?
Everyone's going to be saying that they can't support a team, so all the people in Cleveland...
Who is
like
that?
Me,
who's everyone?
Everyone's hating on Cleveland, saying they're not...
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Simon, we talked about one individual in the WNBA who put a foot in her mouth, and for her, maybe she doesn't care, who talked about how Cleveland is not maybe the best place to expand to and how she prefers Miami. I think one of the reasons that I'm confused or was confused about what she was saying, it's just like everybody. I'm like, what, huh? Who's everybody that's promoting or taking a dump on Cleveland? One person said it. I think as an overall, over the years, Joakim Noah said it. She said it. People take a dump on the Browns for good reason. But I don't know if that's applicable here, Simon.
Yeah, also, everyone doesn't like him because they have such passionate fans, and every other city wishes they could have such passionate fans like the Browns have.
Okay. And you're a Cleveland Browns fan in Cleveland?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm used to losing, I guess. I don't know. Maybe that's why.
Still showing up.
Well, listen, that's better than nothing. Good man, Simon. Thank you for calling from Cleveland. Appreciate you. Hey, Botcher, it took us a while to get there. I think I understand. I'm not fully sold that I do, but I think I get what he's saying.
He was basically saying that with everyone hating on Cleveland and Detroit, people would show up to make a point. Like kind of like how the A's sold out Coliseum
Reverse boycott?
Yeah, that's what I think he was going for, but he just didn't explain it well.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Simon. And now we know, Botcha, now we know why he shows up for the Browns, even when they suck. He's just... He's a good man, Simon. That Simon is. Hey, thank you so much, Simon, for calling from Cleveland. We appreciate you. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. At the top of the hour, we're going to give you a new top six list. Top six sports cities that deserve better. They cannot catch a break. When we come back on the other side, I'm going to tell you about somebody. Oh, man, damn. Unfortunately, she may have broke her wrist last night. At the WNBA game, we're going to get into that, and we'll talk about somebody who also broke his foot, Jaren Jackson Jr. We're going to talk about some injuries on the other side of the break. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network, but right now, this minute, it's time for a news flash with Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, we were trying to figure out what the heck people got beef with Cleveland for. The top of the hour is going to be time for a new top six list. We'll take a look at the top six sports cities that deserve better. The top six sports cities that can't catch a break. But as I explained to you right before we went to break, There are a few individuals, unfortunately, who are dealing with some breaks. How about this one? A little bit of a surprise, but at this point in time, I can't be surprised by anything. Jaren Jackson Jr., who just received a 5-year, $240 million extension from the Memphis Grizzlies. This was on Monday. We found out about this. 2-time All-Star and Defensive Player of the Year 2 seasons ago. Last season, he averaged 22 points, 2 blocks, 5.5 rebounds, 2 assists. A good player, right? Especially if Ja Morant is too busy shooting guns at a strip club. Oh, that's Plaxico. My apologies to Ja Morant. He just flaunts the guns online. But anyway, Jaren Jackson Jr., we learned about his deal on Monday. Why, late last night, the Memphis Grizzlies basically put out a statement saying that this guy, by the way, has turf toe, is going to need surgery, and that he sustained this injury away from the Grizzlies practice facility, just doing a run. Okay, you play basketball, you can play ball, fine. He hurt his toe wherever the hell he did it. And now he's going to need to get cut open, and he's probably going to miss the beginning of the regular season. The Memphis Grizzlies are already missing another big man in Zach Edey, who's dealing with an ankle issue. Botcher, this is the other ankle, not the one that he was speeding with, right?
Yeah, different one.
Different ankle, okay. Memphis Grizzlies are in a little bit of trouble here to start the season. And if you ever wanted to know what the hell is up with turf toe, I want you to listen to this doctor from CBS Sports HQ. Marty Yamarillo was basically breaking down what the heck happened to this guy's foot.
Okay, so he sustained a turf toe injury. What is that? Well, it's the big toe and a sprain, or more specifically, a hyperextension injury of the big toe. So if this is the foot, the toe, the big toe goes all the way back and tears the undersurface soft tissue, connective tissue, ligaments, and tendons. Now, typically, these injuries are grade 1 or grade 2, and they're gradual, and particularly occurs much more in football. That's from the name turf. That said, he sustained a very serious, more aggressive type movement where that joint just went past its available limit. Now, he'll have surgery momentarily, and it's the window is 3 to 5 months, right? On average, about 5 months. So having surgery at the beginning of July takes him to November. I don't expect him to miss any more than 2 months following the start of the season and make a full recovery.
Man, well, that's enough. That takes us into December. At least I learned something. I never had turf toe. Don't want it. Hyperextension of the toe. The damn big toe goes the wrong way. No, thank you. And of course, the Memphis Grizzlies knew about this. Of course they knew. They found out about the injury when they evaluated him prior to him signing the contract. You think they're just going to, hey, here's 240, and not just check in on the guy? Come on. How backwards would it be for the Memphis Grizzlies to go, oh yeah, by the way, we're giving him a new contract, $240 million, and we know he has an injury. The Memphis Grizzlies said, we're going to put this out here about the contract, and then we're going to tell everybody about the turf toe. Even though these deals can't formally be announced by the teams until, what, Sunday? Wild stuff here. They knew about it. It's funny they told everybody after the fact. And speaking of injuries, I know we discussed the Commissioner's Cup last night that Caitlin Clark did not participate in. Indiana ended up beating Minnesota. We had an awful injury at halftime. One of the best entertainers in the world of sports, she went down off of her unicycle, and she had to brace her fall with her wrist. Red Panda, who everybody knows is the lady who is on a unicycle kicking plates and cups and balancing them on top of her head. She fell down yesterday. Listen to this report from WTHR.
And some scary moments during halftime at last night's game when popular performer Red Panda fell off her unicycle onto the court. She had to be helped off the chair with a wheelchair, and she was last seen grabbing her left wrist after the fall in pain. Red Panda, whose real name is Rong Yu, is an acrobat that rides her unicycle 8 feet above the court, balancing things like custom bowls on her leg before flipping them on her head. She's a fantastic performer. Yeah. I know that was tough to see. We're wishing her the best and hoping that she's okay this morning.
Hey, Boncha, it's your time to shine, man. You take over. Go get it.
I saw Red Panda once, a couple months ago, and I can't balance, one. Two, I can't balance anything on my head. And three, I don't think those bowls would fit on my head. I got a big head.
Okay. Can you ride a unicycle?
I've never tried. I can barely ride a bike, so.
Oh, yeah. Damn. Oh, well, damn. Okay, all right. You're not replacing Red Panda. I think we know that. This lady has been doing this since the early 90s. She's in her mid-50s at this point in time. She came over to the United States of America, has been a citizen since 97, has been looking for, or came to the States looking for jobs and opportunities, and was like auditioning for circuses and whatnot. And she sent a video, I forgot, to one of the NBA teams, and they brought her on. And then after that, it's just been, she's been booked and busy since like the early 90s, okay? On a 7-foot unicycle, doing it since 1993. She makes about $2,500 to $3,000 for a 5-minute halftime performance. I can't tell you how many times I've seen this lady on her unicycle flipping plates and cups. But maybe in your mid-50s, maybe it's time to hang them up. Let's think about this. Maybe she fell in, I don't know, 1994. And nobody printed out the film off of their camera. I don't know. But to think she's been doing this all these years and there's never been a publicized accident that I can remember, it's a big deal. Even Caitlin Clark was just like, oh, man, I hope she feels better.
Wait. Red Panda, we love you.
Red Panda.
Red Panda got hurt at halftime. Feel better.
She rides on that bike and does it.
We love you, Red Panda.
Red Panda, if you're watching. Red Panda. Red Panda, if you're watching. We love you.
I don't think Red Panda is on my...
Oh, damn. Oh, that is obviously from the Indiana Fever celebration after they won a Commissioner's Cup. Yeah, and Caitlin Clark did not play, but I did see her. Bacha, did you see her shotgun a beer?
I did. I think she was a little intoxicated last night.
I think she was. How old is Caitlin? Well, she's... Oh, you can't go from the league.
24?
23, 24. I know she's old enough to drink. You think she was drinking in college? I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. And speaking of Caitlin Clark, what is this here? Caitlin Clark. They're talking about her Nike deal. Caitlin Clark's signature shoe could be $150 million in business, says sneaker expert. Okay. All right. Caitlin Clark's new Kobe Bryant shoe sells out instantly. Yeah. Well, yeah, she's 23 years old. Whenever Caitlin Clark sells her shoes, them things going to go flying like hotcakes. Good for her and good for the Indiana Fever and winning. Now, back to the entertainment for halftime. Is there anything else in North American sports that stands out to you for a halftime show besides this lady with the plates on her head? Is there anything else?
Oh, have you seen the chihuahua that like balances on like on balls and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right. I've seen that dog. There's the guy who does Simon Says.
Oh, he's good at his job and entertaining.
Have you ever participated in that?
No. The only time I've ever been invited to do something at halftime, I was like 6 years old or 7 years old at the Nets game. And they wanted me to do like the slam dunk contest. And I got stage fright and I was like, nah, I don't want to do this. Embarrass myself.
Slam dunk contest like on a what? A mini hoop?
Yes, it was a mini hoop slam dunk contest. And I turned it down.
Why?
Because I was a young kid and I was afraid of people.
Oh my God. Well, none of the players were out. Nobody could lift you up or nothing like that. I don't know.
Players? No. It was like just, it was a bunch of like 6-year-olds and 5-year-olds trying to do bad 360s. And I was like, I'm not doing that.
Well, that sounds like something at the Brooklyn Nets or at the time, New Jersey Nets.
Yeah, it was the New Jersey Nets. They were doing that.
That's something that they would put on. Hey, let's just have a bunch of kids slam dunk on mini hoops. How entertaining that is. Hey, good luck to Red Panda, okay? And not too much anything more entertaining. Her, the Simon Says guy, the dogs. There's the guy who paints upside down and makes a work of art. I think everybody and everything just gets recycled. You got the mascots who all show up at one time and beat up on kids. That's some halftime entertainment. And then worst comes to worst, if you don't want to pay anybody for halftime entertainment, Batra, what you just said is accurate. They find local kids and they let them play for 5 minutes at halftime. Back and forth. That's it. Nothing else.
That's sometimes fun. If a kid randomly hits like an actual NBA three-pointer, you're like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a good amount of people in the arena that are maybe intoxicated. I think they can find anything entertaining at that point in time. Good luck to Red Panda. All good things must come to an end. I'm not trying to put this lady out of business, but maybe you've fallen off that unicycle. Maybe it's a sign that it's time to hang up the unicycle and the plates, okay? It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to share with you a new top six list. We're going to talk about some of the top sports cities in North America that deserve a break, okay? Cleveland is definitely on the list. My top six list is on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast, the Infinity Sports Network.